Well, good morning. We are starting a new series. Don't worry, you'll be home in time for the Super Bowl. You're the hour to worry about it, I know, but thankfully here they don't start it till 3:30, so I have until about 3:15. Just kidding. You'll be home in plenty of time to start baking or whatever you're doing for your party. But we are starting a new series, calling it Faith Begins at Home, because we do believe here what the Bible tells us, and that is that as parents, we parents are the number one priority when it comes to the spiritual development of our kids. That it's pretty clear in Scripture that it is the charge and the responsibility of mom and dad to see to it that their children are brought up in the Lord. And we want to equip parents to do that, which is why we're putting together this Saturday event in a couple weeks. Is we want to, we would be doing you, a parent, a disservice by not equipping you and empowering you to be the parent that God calls you to be. You know, we believe that there is no higher calling than there is to be a parent and to be responsible for a gift of God, to steward, be a steward of that child's life, and to one day kind of set them free, you know, so to speak, to go off and live as mature adults, not only in their faith, but also emotionally, and to succeed in life. And so we're doing this parenting series. Now, some of you right now might be thinking, well, my kids are already gone, or I don't have kids, or we don't have kids yet. Don't check out, because whether you have children still at home or not, or they've moved on and have their own families now, This still has an application for everyone, because we all know parents. We all live next door to parents. Our kids go to school with people, or you know, we interact with parents all the time. And this may be some information or some things to think about that you can speak into some people, some of those trusted people, maybe some of those heart and soul friends that we talked about a couple weeks ago, some of those heart and soul friends that you can take what's shared here and maybe go and encourage parents as they are raising kids. You know, some of you are grandparents, and you are now watching your kids have kids, and maybe some of these things you're thinking, man, if only we would have known some of this or thought about this when our kids were still at home. But you know, it's never too late. Now you can breathe that into your children as they are raising kids to encourage them there. So, you know, don't check out, no matter what season of life you're in, because you will find, especially today, that there is an application to all of us in the room. Now, we should all agree, whether we're parents or not, you know, even if you've not been blessed with kids yet, or that's a decision you've made, or there's extenuating circumstances, that at least we can all admit that with parenting comes the fear of the unknown. You know, I've shared a couple of times the story of when my oldest was born, our daughter JC, and after, you know, she was born and they took slimy JC, you know, from mom, cleaned her up and put her on that tray thing. I don't know what it is, you know, but, you know, Tina's over here and baby's now over here, and I come over and walk up to our daughter, and I have no idea what to do, and it's right there that I realize, what have I gotten myself into? Because this thing is going home with us, and life as we know it is forever changed, and, you know, I didn't know what to do. There's all these unknowns, and many of you know this, I just poked her. I just like, yeah, this is happening. This is real. And, you know, it's been an adventure from there. And, you know, you parents, you know, you've been there, and we've all watched. We were all the child, you know, we all have parents. But, you know, with parenting comes this fear of the unknown and many, many challenges. And really, there's no detailed manual. You know, there's no book that all of us go to that says, if you do these three things, you know, your child will be successful. I mean, that detailed manual doesn't exist. Yeah, so not only should we all agree that parenting comes with the fear of the unknown and many challenges because there is no detailed manual, we can also agree that raising children is absolutely no easy task. Amen? I mean, Tina and I are still in the throes of it. You know, we've got two teenagers, and so it's always an adventure. And, you know, we look back on the younger years and we miss them to some degree and are happy where we are in another degree. And there's pros and cons to every season of life. But I think the overarching message is that raising children is no easy task, and it should not be taken lightly. And I do think that there's some people out there that take raising their kids very lightly. That, you know, as long as, you know, they don't hurt themselves, everything will be fine. But the Bible lays out that this is not something to be taken lightly, that there's a responsibility upon the parent to be the one that is driving and encouraging and training these children up in God, according to God's ideal and God's standard. And so that's really the battle for parents today, to have homes that God intended and not homes that the world has fashioned them to be. See, there's this kind of battle going on that God has this standard, and I'll say it's this side. God has this standard where he would want all of us and our households to be. And there's this world that we all still live in that maybe has fashioned our family to look like this. And what we do, especially if we're in the church, we find ourselves kind of straddling the two. Because we want what's over here, but that's a lot more work. We want God's standard. We want God's ideal, but that takes commitment and responsibility. And what we end up, it's much easier to be on this side. We all kind of gravitate and default to the world's ideal. Because that's where sin is. That's where we kind of gravitate. We find ourselves over here. It's more comfortable. It's easier. There's less. There's fewer expectations. There's less responsibility. And so, those of us in the church, we find ourselves kind of straddling one foot in both areas. And when that happens, we're just really at odds with ourselves. And as Jesus says, you know, a house divided cannot stand. And so, you know, today we have a choice to make. Today, there's a call that all of us, parents or not, no matter what season of life we are, if we are parents, today we have a responsibility upon us to make a choice. And that's kind of where we're headed this morning. So raising children is no easy task and should not be taken lightly. The battle is to have kids raised according to God's standard and not according to the world as it's fashioned it to be. And the truth is that the will of God for the parents toward their children is the same today in the 21st century as it was in the first century. See, because some of us might say, we might look at some of the scriptures and say, you know what? Those parenting verses were written for a much simpler time. Well, yes, they were written in a much simpler time, but the truth of those scriptures still apply today in a less simpler time. God's will for children is the same in the 21st century as it was in the first century, and that is that these kids would grow up knowing him and serving him, and loving others. I mean, the goal of God is the same because God and his nature does not change from each century or each generation. And so we might read these verses and get to the Proverbs 22:6 that many of us know. Train up a child in the way he should go, so when he is old, he will not turn from it. And we read that and we think, you know, I want that. That sounds awesome. But in this day and age, it just seems like an unattainable pipe dream. In order to train my child up in such a way that when he or she grows up, he won't turn from it. And to be expected to do that in this busy world with all the other responsibilities that I have seems like a pipe dream. And so we look at that proverb and we say, well, that proverb, we just dismiss it as having been written for a simpler time and it has no application in the 21st century. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that God's will in the first century and even before that was that children would be trained up in such a way that when they grow up and grow old, they will not turn from it. That same goal applies to my children in the 21st century, to their children, you know, when they're born many, many years from now. And, you know, no matter where we find ourselves in life, the goal is the same. Now, here's the challenge. And this is a big challenge. Now, I know some of you, many of you predate me and when, you know, when I was growing up, but here's the challenge that I think many of us parents today are forced to deal with. See, we don't have the luxury of drawing on the past to assist us as we navigate the uncharted waters of parenting in the 21st century. What do I mean by that? Mike, you know, when I was growing up, my parents would say, why don't you guys go outside and play? Go interact with your friends. Go outside and play, build relationships. Go ride your bikes all the way to the horizon and back as long as you're home, you know, before the streetlights come on or you can hear my voice when dinner's ready. You go outside. We don't do that anymore, do we, parents? We don't say, you know what, it's a good idea. Why don't you go outside and play? We'll see you in a few hours. Make sure you're home in time for dinner. You see, I could look back on that and go, you know, that worked. I was able to interact with kids in the community. There was, you know, I had social interaction. I learned how to deal with people, you know, got in a couple of fights, you know, and learned what to do and what not to do. I don't tell my children, you know what, why don't you guys go outside and play? Because there's fears today that weren't as prevalent back then. I mean, my mom and dad were obviously not worried about someone just coming into the yard and taking off with me and my brother. But that's everywhere in this society anymore, isn't it? I mean, that's a fear that our kids are not outside unsupervised unless it's a gated area. You know, there might be different scenarios, but just, you know, for all intents and purposes, children really aren't outside playing like they used to be. You know, I grew up with only a handful of channels on the TV. I had to get up off the couch to change the channels. You know, so you were committed even to, you know, whatever you're watching. And sometimes you go, I know something else is on, but, you know, this isn't that bad. The TV's way over there, the knob, you know. But the point with that is, you know, my parents didn't have to worry about just my brother or I being inundated with who knows what. Because there weren't hundreds upon hundreds of channels. They knew, you know, there's only so many channels. And even then, you know, the broadcasting companies weren't really pushing the envelope all that rough at that point. You know, it wasn't all that risque. And if there was anything to be risque, you knew that was after 10 o'clock and, you know, you get sent to bed. I mean, now it's just people are pushing the envelope and there's syndication, you know, so stuff that was on at 10 o'clock maybe the first time is now on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on another channel. And so, you know, so there, you, parents today have to deal with all these channels. Programming was much tamer then. It was less explicit, and there was no access to DVRs or syndication. You know, the VCR was too hard to figure out. It was this big anyways, and it cost way too much, and my parents didn't have one anyways. You know, back then, the cost of living was much lower, meaning that it was more likely that mom or dad could be home, to be there, to be an active part of raising the kids all the time. There was no internet. Home video gaming was remedial at best. Pac-Man was square and made this horrible noise. Anyone remember Asteroids on the Atari 2600? You could just find that one spot like in the middle of the screen and never die. I'm convinced there's probably someone right now for the last 30 years has been playing it and just every asteroid he blows up is a new high score. But, you know, I mean, video games were just, they were remedial at best. It was still worth it to be down at an arcade. Remember arcades? Dropping quarters into the slot, you know? Because, you know, Pac-Man looked dumb at home. He wasn't even round. And so, all this to say that parents today can't really draw on the experiences of their past because really that world doesn't exist anymore. And so there are challenges. Now, I'm not saying that then is better than now. Even then had its challenges. It was difficult to raise a family then. But today it seems like the challenges are more daunting. And even a point that I was reminded of last hour was even some of those, you know, the more TVs, the mobile devices, the internet, and some of those things that we worry about with kids, we now need to worry about as parents. That we parents can be tempted and enticed into inappropriate images and storylines and whatnot because we are just inundated. And everything, I mean, it just with the devices in our purses or in our pockets, you know, we can call up images, right or wrong. But today, the challenges seem all the more daunting. Attention spans are shorter. Children's lifestyles are more sedentary. Parents are pulled still in many directions with children's schedules and homework. And this will get me in trouble. You know, I know we have a lot of educators in the room, but, you know, I never remember getting homework for Christmas break or Easter break. I didn't remember when it was called Christmas break and Easter break. But I was never sent home with homework. My kids always seem like they have homework over the break. I mean, even over summer break, my daughter has had homework to prep her for a class. You know, and I've always, I tell my wife, I'm going to send a strongly worded email to that teacher and say, my daughter or my son will not be doing this homework. It is their break time, so don't give them an F. Give me an F. If you have a problem, come talk to me. My wife, being an educator, will not let me do that. And I know there's some teachers in the room, and if you want to battle it out with me in the between, please do. That's fine. It just saddens me that they don't have that break. Anyways, parents are pulled in many directions with children's schedules and homework and music lessons and disciplining them. And you got sports practice. You've got band and drama rehearsals. You've got your own work schedule that you're trying to work out. You want to keep yourself healthy. You're nurturing your marriage. You got a social life that's important to you. You want to be involved in the church because you got this Yahoo up here every week saying, get involved in the church. Get into a life group. Get yourself serving somewhere. You know, and you want it, but you're thinking, how am I supposed to do all that when I have children, when I got other responsibilities? And it is daunting. And then so we get to that Proverb 22:6, is train up your child in the way he should go, so when he grows up, he will not turn from you. You're thinking, yeah, right, that's the ideal, but how am I to pull that off in this day and age? Because I'm drawn back to, had to have been written for a much simpler time. Now, I do happen to believe that even in our current fast-paced, overpriced, hyper-protective day and age, that this ideal, the ideal of Proverbs 22:6, can be realized. I believe that our children's physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being does not need to be sacrificed on the altar of the 21st century overly filled schedule. I also believe that we parents, we can negotiate the perils of raising a child in the 21st century while maintaining our sanity and still experiencing a satisfying and fulfilling marriage and succeeding at work at the same time. And furthermore, as difficult and as daunting as all of this sounds, I even believe that single parents, divorced and remarried couples can all make it work for the best as well. I believe that. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Is it doable? Absolutely, it is doable. You guys are going to check on that? Yeah, we're being serenaded by something outside. We're going to spend some time in Deuteronomy 30. I think I've neglected to tell you that. So if you want to get to Deuteronomy 30, go ahead and find it. It's in the Old Testament, one of the early books, and within the first five. And while you're looking into it, just listen, while you're finding Deuteronomy 30, listen, that the context of Deuteronomy 30 is this, that God had created for himself a nation of people that we know as the Israelites, they're Jewish, so we call them Jews, and they're in the Old Testament. God has called these people to himself, says, you will be my people, I will be your God, and God began to interact with them. God drew these people to him. And a promise was eventually God was going to give them this land that we now call the Promised Land. It was a promise, and God says, you know, in your history at some point, you're going to be in slavery for a while in Egypt, and I'm going to lead you out of there towards the Promised Land, and you're going to get to a point where the Promised Land is yours, and I'm going to tell you when that time is. And God got to that point and says, guys, take the land, and the Israelites were disobedient. They believed they could not take the land. All but two of them said, we are too small. We're like grasshoppers of the people living in the land. Because God says, you need to go and you need to take the land from those that are living there. And they were afraid. All but two were afraid. And God says, now because of your disobedience, because of your lack of trust, this generation will wander in the desert for 40 years. None of you will see the Promised Land except for the two that said we could do this, that God is on our side. And in Deuteronomy 30, we're getting closer to that point now where that generation is dying off, and now they're going to be able to have a second shot at the Promised Land. And God is rallying his people, and he's saying, the time has come. You've been exiled from the Promised Land, and now you're getting to a point, we're getting to that point to where you now get that opportunity. And God declares that even in their exile and even in their wandering, and their which was a punishment, that returning to the Promised Land was possible. And he says in Deuteronomy 30, it is doable. Says this in Deuteronomy 30, that this is doable. And then he says, this is how it's doable. And God says, if you follow my commands, if they follow God's commands, if these people who originally demonstrated a lack of faith, a lack of trust in the promises of God, turn back to God. God says, I will return the blessing. And so God is calling his people back to him to follow his ways, and because he says clearly that his ways are better than anyone else's ways and that his ways are doable. So what this group of people that God is calling and saying, you're getting close, he's calling and saying, you must believe that I am telling you the truth and that my ways are greater than your ways. Because let's look, guys, let's see where your ways got you. It got you wandering in the desert, punished for 40 years. It got you excluded from God's promises and wandering aimlessly for a generation. So the one thing I want us to think about as we begin to even consider parenting, and this applies to all of us, that what I believe about the Bible determines how I live my life. Write that down. It's first blank. What I believe about the Bible determines how I live my life. You know, because ultimately that was the decision that the Israelites needed to make their first shot at the promised land. And now at their second shot is God's basically saying, you know, what you think about me will determine how you live your life. If you trust me, if you believe in me, if you have faith in me that I am the God of the promise of the promises that I've made and that I will see those promises come. If you trust me, you will be blessed. Now, on this side of history, this side of the cross in which we live, we need to look at this. What I believe about God's word, what I believe about the Bible, determines how I lead my life. I believe, and my prayer is that you believe, that I believe that the Bible, God's word, is the divinely inspired word of God in its entirety. And that it is God's enduring and prevailing message to all humanity, and it serves as the supreme source of truth, the primary source of truth. Any other source of truth pales in comparison to God's word. That this is God's supreme source of truth for Christian beliefs and Christian living. And so if a detailed manual on parenting does exist, it's right here. And if you were here for the marriage series a few months ago, I said all of the teachings of Jesus, all of the commands of God have an application in marriage, even if the command or the verse is in the context of marriage. That there's an application to God's word in marriage. There's also an application to all of God's word in raising children. Okay, what I believe about the Bible determines how I live my life. God's word is called a lamp unto my feet, meaning it guides the ways that I should be walking and the ways that I should be as a man leading my household. It's called the truth. It's called righteous. It's called eternal and flawless. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. It's from God and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and as the Proverbs 22:6 tells us, training in righteousness. And so like then many of you, due to this unshakable belief in God's word, Tina, my wife, and I have chosen to build our lives and to build our household that was formed upon our marriage on the firm foundation of God's word because we know and we believe that God's ways are greater than ours. And so when children entered the picture, for us it was a no-brainer. We're going to raise our kids according to God's standard. Is it easy? No. Is it doable? By the grace of God in Christ? Yes, it is. Let's go to the Deuteronomy 30, the chunks that I wanted to read really quick. And this will kind of help explain what I'm talking about. I'm going to start reading in verse 15, skip a couple verses, and then we're going to pick up in 19 and 20. So you remember the context. This is a group of people that are having their second shot at the promised land. And God is now encouraging them and explaining to them, this is now how you will succeed to get into the promised land and how to experience the blessings of God. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30. See, I set before you today, God says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Skipping now to verse 19. This day, God says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And God implores them, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I remind you, this was written to a particular group of people, but there is application for us today. You see, what we see here in what we read is that there is a choice that must be made by each person. And God even gives them a clue and says, here's the choice. And that choice is before you and me today. There is a choice that must be made by each person here today, whether you're a parent or not. And the choices are this: there's life and good and blessing, or there's death, evil, and cursing. Sounds harsh, but this is actually a God of love saying, I love you enough to give you the choice to turn your back on me. See, because to be forced into love is no love at all. That's actually slavery, isn't it? I mean, and so God is saying, I want you to love me. And I want to provide the means for that love to be fulfilled and experienced. And if you choose life, God says, you will experience life. You will experience good. You will experience prosperity. But if you choose death, if you choose to turn your back, you will experience death and you will experience adversity and curses. So with those two choices in mind, God says a few verses later, he says, I'm going to tell you the right answer. Choose life. Choose life. Why is that the right answer? Because God wants to bless. God wants you to prosper. God wants to spare us the adversity and the curses that go against his ideal and his standard. And so why choose life? Why does God say choose life? He goes on to say, so you and your children may live. Choosing God and his ways for us today on this side of the cross and this side of history means a life in Christ. And that life in Christ leads to life, life everlasting. And this then, by doing that, by choosing life in Christ, you are then turning from the destructive path of the world. And so, first and foremost, we need to look at, do we believe the message of the Bible? Do we believe that God is for us? Do we believe that God can speak into our parenting? You know, I see the Proverb 22:6, what I call it long-term parenting. That you're parenting with an end in view. Not that you're looking forward to the kids getting out of the house, but there's an end in view. There's a purpose behind it. What is that purpose? So when they grow up, they will not turn from it. So first we need to look at, do I believe God's word? And if I believe it, then that needs to determine how I live. It needs to be the supreme source in how I live my life as a Christ follower, which includes marriage and it also includes raising children. Secondly, before any of us can honor God in our parenting, I must choose to honor God with my life. Before I can even hope to honor God with anything, including parenting, I need to make the decision, the choice in my life to honor God with my life. See, both God and the world's systems offer us a choice. And the choice really is this: to whom will I bow? To whom will I align myself? To whom will I give my allegiance? That's the choice. To whom will you bow? And I want you to think about that right now, whether you're a parent or not. I want you to consider, to whom are you bowing? Do you bow to God, the Father and Creator, in whose very image you've been made, and who left his rightful place in heaven to take on flesh, to live as you live, and ultimately to lay down his life for you? Or do you bow to the enemy, the father of lies, who entices and tempts and leads astray? Parent or not, to whom do you bow? The God in whose image you were made, or to the father of lies who wants nothing but the worst and destruction for you? No secret that the world in which we live is pulling itself further and further away from God. And so unless we parents take the responsibility for our children's spiritual development, the risk is high that this generation of children will not live a life devoted to the God that loves them. We have an army of committed, loving, dedicated men and women in our youth, children's, nursery areas back there who tirelessly serve every morning, every Sunday morning. And they give, and they give, and they give. And we're doing our best to remind them that you are giving with eternity in mind, that you, this is part of the training in which they are these children are receiving. This is part of going long-term with them. But if that is all your kids are experiencing, is your 1 hour, while you're in this room, they're over there, then your kids are being robbed. Not because it's a weak program, but because you ought to be, you are called as the parents to be the spiritual responsibility. You have a spiritual responsibility for your children. And then just to take that responsibility and ignore it so much and just give your kids and that responsibility to an army of dedicated people back there for an hour a Sunday, your kids are being robbed. It starts with us parents who understand we have a choice to either choose life and God's ways in everything we do, which includes raising children, or to choose death, which is to turn our back on the ways of God and say, we can do better. To whom will you bow? There's a famous verse in Joshua 24 that maybe many of you have heard. Joshua was, after Moses left, Joshua kind of took over as the leader of the Israelites, and it was him that was leading them into this promised land after the exile was over and they were going in. And Joshua was challenging the Israelites. In verse 15, he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, mainly you choose who you're going to bow to, Joshua is saying. Who is it that you're going to bow to? Is it going to be the gods that your forefathers served before they knew God? Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living? Joshua then goes on to say, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Basically what he is saying, if we go back to Deuteronomy 30, we are choosing life. We're choosing to build our home, raise our kids, be married on the foundation of the words of God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of us today, parents or not, all of us today, check that, all of us today, parents or not, we need to make that declaration that I will bow to God and God alone. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now here's the thing. If the choice to follow God seems daunting to you, God says in Deuteronomy 3, it's doable. Back then, he says it was doable. He says, I've not left it up in the heavens where you got to figure out how to get somebody up to the heavens to decipher it all and come back and report it to you. He says it's not across the oceans. You're going to need to figure out to send someone across the oceans to go and learn all this and to come explain it to you. God says, nope, I've made it clear. It is doable. And again, on this side of history in which we now live, the doing has been taken care of in Jesus. To choose life today means we choose life in Christ. If you place your faith in him, that is Jesus, and back up your claim of faith by now living a life of love towards God and others, then you let your parenting be born out of God's deep abiding love for you first, and then from the well of God's love, you parent your children according to God's commands and Jesus' teaching. Because I remind you, all of Jesus' teaching applies to not only marriage, not only our relationships outside of marriage and outside of this building, but it also applies to the parent-child relationship. And if a goal for you, and I hope and pray that it is to raise your children in a God-honoring way, there is no way that you can raise your children in a God-honoring way if you're not honoring him, that is God, with your life. You either honor him or you don't. There's no honor him in this area and not this area. You honor him or you don't. And if you are convinced and you want so badly for your children to be raised in a God-honoring way, mom, dad, it begins with you. It begins with you. With you living your life honoring God. So finally, unless I choose life, the choice that God lays out in Deuteronomy 30. Unless I choose life, faith will not begin at home. Unless today you make the choice to choose life, that is Christ, and you build your home, or you renovate your home, if need be, you know, on Christ, unless you make that choice, faith will not begin at home. Godly instruction is the responsibility of parents. The church programming and ministries exist to support you, parents, not to pick up your slack, not to pick up my slack. Godly instruction is the responsibility of parents, and when parents neglect that responsibility, they are selling their family short of good biblical leadership within that home and robbing their children of a deep relationship with God. This is why we want to see all of you parents at this Saturday event for 4 hours. 4 hours. 4 hours includes pancakes. Who doesn't like pancakes? But come and spend 4 hours with your family, with your children, and be equipped and empowered to raise up your kids, to train them up according to this ideal, God's ideal of Proverbs 22:6. You know, take that thing out of your bulletin, sign up for it, register for it, pay for it later, whatever you have to do. Get yourself and your children to this event. If God-honoring parenting is your desire, then the first step is to make the right wise choice today. We're reminded in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4, that in him, that is in Christ, was life. And so for us, because of the cross and the empty tomb, life for us means a life in Christ. Now you might be thinking, you know what? Yeah, the Bible says it's doable, but man, it seems like a lot of work. To do that seems like a lot of work. I just want to highlight this one last verse, that Matthew 11, 29 says otherwise. In this, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, I did not come to add rules to your life. I did not come to give you life but make it difficult to attain. I came to give you life and to give it freely. Jesus says, you put your faith in me, you will experience life because of the grace that goes along with Christ. God declared in Deuteronomy 30 that following his ways was incredibly doable, so much so that that is the only and correct choice. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to experience the goodness of relationships, the love of community in the church and family. He wants you to raise your children according to his standards. He wants you to win in your marriage. He wants you to be fulfilled in friendships. He wants you to find that purpose in life. And he tells us exactly how to experience all of that and more. He says, choose life. Choose life. And so today, if you have not chosen life, if you have not surrendered to God in Christ, that's your first step today. You want to bring your children up to honor them. You want to see your grandchildren brought up to honor God. You want to see your friends who live next door to you bring up their children to honor God. It starts with you. Make the choice today to choose life, to honor God with you. And in your life. See, to train up a child is not an unattainable pipe dream. But there is no quick fix. God-honoring parenting, long-term parenting with a goal in mind is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It is a long-term commitment, but it is absolutely doable. But it requires the choice being made. Life and prosperity found in God in Christ? Or would you rather the easy way out? Death and adversity found in the enemy who wants nothing more but to see you come to ruin. Will you stand with me? The choice is clear, I think. And some of us need to make that choice. Some of us need to just make that reaffirming choice that, yep, many years ago, we declared that me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and just reaffirm that. But some of you may need to make that initial step and say, you know what? First, today I choose life. I've not made that choice. I need Christ in my life, and today I make that choice. And we would ask you at the conclusion of my prayer to come on up here and talk to a volunteer. No one's going to be paying attention to you. No one's going to be pointing at you. No one's going to be seeing who is or isn't coming. They're all going to be leaving because the Super Bowl is happening shortly. But don't leave here without making the right choice. Choose life and choose it today. Will you pray with me? God, We thank you for Jesus, for he is the right choice, and you've provided that choice for us, and you've said that that's the choice to make. You've said that preferred life is a life lived in him, with you, and in a community with like-minded believers. And God, I pray that as a parent, that my parenting is born out of my love for you and your love for me. And God, I pray that for all the parents here. I pray that for the grandparents. I pray that for those that don't have kids, that they might have the opportunity to speak into people that they love and care for and to encourage them in your word. God, I pray that we look at your word this week and we see it as the supreme source of truth and that it has application to every facet of our life, not just between the hours of 10:45 and noon on a Sunday. But that, God, this is your enduring message of love and pursuit, seeing to it that we have you in our life. God, thank you for life. Thank you for being that life and providing that life. May we live that life in you this week. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.